And moving on to Mishnah Beis, continue to discuss different cooking apparatus. Here we say Kira, which is a stovetop. So Tchilasa Shalosh, in the first place, in order for it to be able to be Mekabel Tumah, for it to be considered a Kli, it has to be minimum 3 fingers high. So it's obviously much more shallow than a Tanur, Ushira Shalosh. And if it gets broken, the minimum size it could be is 3 as well. And also, that's Misha Tegar Melachta, it only can be Mekabel Tumah once it's considered Gemar Melacha, it's finished. And Ezu Gemar Melachta, what is Gemar Melacha of a Kira? So that's Mishnah Sekenik De Lavasha Oleh, Beitza Kalash of a Beitzim. It has to be heated up enough to be able to bake the lightest and easiest eggs to cook, which is a chicken egg as an aside. Trufa unasuna be'elfas. Trufa means beaten and placed in a pan. In other words, we're not talking about making a hard-boiled egg while it's still in its shell. It's referring to cracking the egg open, stirring it up, and baking it on a pan. Whatever heat is necessary to cook that egg, if that's what this kira, this stove, was heated up to, that's considered gemar melacha. Now moving on to discuss something else, hakupach. Now a kupach is interesting. It's somewhat of a mix between a tanur and a kirayim. A kirayim was only used for cooking on top of it. It actually had two places for pots on top, and an oven is the exact opposite. It was only used for baking. And a kupach is somewhat in between. It has one large hole on top, which you technically could place a pot on top of, but also sometimes people used it for baking because it was shaped somewhat like an oven. Therefore, it depends on its din. Says the Mishnah, asoy lafia, if it was made for baking purposes, shirei katanur. So all the shirim are like an oven from the previous Mishnah, whereas asoy labishal, if it was made for cooking, shirei kakira. So shirim are like a stove that we had at the beginning of this Mishnah. We continue discussing these, now referring to a handle that comes out the side of one of these things, and if that handle is considered to be part of the kli, so it will become tummy with the kli, says the Mishnah, ha'even yotzim min hatanur tefach, if there's a stone coming out of the side of the oven, a tefach, or umin akira, shalosh etzbayis, coming out of the wall of akira, 3 fingers, chibur, that's considered connected, that's a handle, and it will become tummy with it. Now, ha'yotzim min hakupach, if it's coming out of a kupach, so here's, well, it depends. Asai lafia, if the kupach was made for baking, shir katanur, the shir is like a tanur, which is a tefach. Asai labishal, but if the kupach was made for cooking, shir kakira, the shir is like a kira, it's 3 finger widths. Now, Amr Yehuda, he says, loy amru tefach, ella bein hatanur v'lakaisel, this whole shir of a tefach is only in regards to the space in between the tanur and the wall. Usually, the tanur is placed up against the wall, so it's not in the middle of the house. You would bump into it when you're walking, and therefore, a tefach is the shir of the handle. However, if the tanur is not near the wall, then even if the handle is longer than a tefach, that still would be considered to be part of the oven. Lastly, says the Mishnah, hayu shnei tanurim smichum zalazet. Let's say we have 2 ovens next to each other. Nice lazet tefach, lazet tefach. We give each tanur the ability to have a 1 tefach handle, bashar tahar, and the rest is tahar, which basically means that if the handle is longer than a tefach, that's either in this situation or in any of the previous cases that we mentioned as well, if the handle is longer than a tefach, whatever extra amount beyond the tefach is not considered the handle, and therefore it's not going to be mekabel tumah. And we continue discussing ovens, ataris kira tahira. The ataris, which is like the crown, it's basically an additional part added to the top of the kira to help it retain its heat, so that's tahar, meaning it's not part of the oven, so it can't be mekabel tumah, even if the oven's tameh. However, what about tiras hatanur, which is translated by the Rav as the courtyard of the oven? It's basically a little compartment next to the oven where they would put the bread in after the bread was taken out. So bismanshi gavayar batvachim, if the walls of this tiras hatanur are 4 tvachim high, so metame b'mago ba'avir, it's like its own separate kli. It's just like the oven, which has to be 4 tvachim minimum height. This is the same thing, and it's metame b'mago, and if tumah goes into the airspace. Now chus mikan, if it's less than 4 tvachim tara, it's tar, it's not mekabel tumah because it's not considered a kli. Now im chubrala, however, if it's connected to the oven, afilah shalosh avonim, even if it's not fully connected, the part of it's resting on 3 stones so that it doesn't break off, which means it's not this 100% strong connection. Nonetheless, it's still considered part of the oven. In Tmeya, it's going to be considered Tamei along with the oven because it's considered part of it. Another discussion, Beis HaPach, Beis HaTavlin, Beis HaNer, a little compartment on the oven, which is meant for a pach, which is like a small flask of oil. They would warm up their oil before using it for anointing and rubbing in and using as massage oils. So this little section for the oil or a section for spices or a place to put a candle. Shebakira that's attached to the kira. Mitame Maga, it's Mitame Maga, meaning the oven gets touched by a sheretz, this becomes Tamei, but the ein metam ba'avir, they don't become Tamei in the avir, because not considered 100% part of the kira, divrei Amir, that's Amir's opinion, whereas Rabbi Shmuel Matar, Rabbi Shmuel says, it's completely tar, it's not even mekabel tumah, because it's not really part of the oven. Moving on to Mishnah Dalet, this goes back to the din that we had in Mishnah Aleph, that we had said the oven is not able to be mekabel tumah in the first place, until it was fired up and heated up for the first time, meaning when they made the oven, and it's solid and ready to be used, it still can't be mekabel tumah until it actually got heated till a certain point. So here we have a number of discussions regarding this. Tanur Shosak Me'achayrav, if the oven was heated up on the outside, meaning wood or heat source wasn't placed inside the oven, it was on the outside, or it was heated up without the owner's knowledge, or is heated up in the craftsman's house, which it usually is not. Nonetheless, Tame, it's okay mekabel tumah because now it's officially a kli. Now, there's a story, Shanafla Deleka B'Tanuri Kfar Signa, that a fire broke out in the area where they made ovens in this place called Kfar Signa, and Ubama Yavna, the story came to Yavna, but Tim Ram Gamliel said that all these ovens are now able to be makabel toma because they got heated up, and even though it was an abnormal way, a fire broke out in the warehouse or factory or wherever it was, it doesn't make a difference. They still are now able to be makabel toma. And Mishnah tells us, musaf ha-tanur, that which is added onto a tanur, it's basically a piece added on above it. It's extra clay that's just meant for heat retention. So shel bali batim tahar. If it's just a regular homeowner's oven, it's not able to be makabel toma. It's not considered part of the oven itself. It's an add-on. It's not really part of it. Whereas shel nechtoimen tame. If it's a baker's oven, so then it couldn't be makabel toma, meaning it's considered part of the oven. Why is that? Mineshu soimach avas hashpud. That's because he puts the shpud, the spit, when he's roasting meat, he'll put it on this top part, which is added on, so it actually has real use as part of the oven, so it could become tame with it. Rabbi Yochanan san loimer, he argues and says, Mineshu aifa baik shu nidchak. That's because he'll bake even in this part when it's a really high pressure time and he needs extra oven space. He'll put bread even in this added on part, and therefore it's going to become tame along with the oven. Get to by similarly, musaf hayoira, something that was added on to the vat or the pot, shel shulke zesim, of those who cook olives, basically after the olives were crushed and oil was taken out of them, they would cook them in order to get more flavor and maybe a little bit more oil out of it. And often they would add on a layer of clay or something like that, extending the walls of the pot or the vat upwards. So that additional part, tame, could be makabel toma because it's necessary to hold in all the liquid in the olives from jumping out of the pot. So it's part of it, and therefore it's makabel toma with it. Whereas v'shel tzabayim, tahar. If it's part added on to the pot of tzabayim, of dyers, they'd raise the walls of their pot like this as well. That's not makabel toma along with the pot because it's not really a necessary part of it. On to Mishnah Vav, Tanu Shanasim by offer ad chatzoy, an oven that dirt was placed into it up until the halfway point. So for example, your oven is 3 feet high and you filled it up with a foot and a half of dirt. So may offer lamatan metame b'maga, the part of the oven that's from the dirt and below, that only becomes tame b'maga, which means if something tame touches the oven, then the walls below the part where the dirt is filling it up, they become tame. Whereas may offer lamalon metame ba'avir, only the part that's above the dirt, that can become tame ba'avir. So if a dead sheretz was placed into the airspace of the oven, so that area becomes tame, not the area below where the dirt is, because that's only considered part of the oven midrabanan due to the fact that it's covered by a thick layer of dirt. Another discussion, now going back to a case where we have a brand new oven that wasn't heated up yet for the first time, so it can't yet be makabel toma. What's its story? Let's say he had taken this oven and placed it on top of a bar or dos, which is basically a pit hollowed out of the ground, and this was designed to have firewood placed inside of it, and that heat rises upwards, and where does it go? Into the oven that's placed right above it. V'nasan sham evan, he placed a stone over there. In other words, he put the oven directly on top of this bar, and then he wedged in a stone to prevent it from falling inside the pit, and that's the way he's going to have it. Now, the key over here is that he didn't connect the oven to the ground, and that's very important, because back in the day when they had their earthenware ovens, they used to just cement them to the ground. Here, the fellow didn't do that. He placed it on top of the hole, wedged the stone in so it doesn't move, but that's it. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, "In masak melamaton, v'nisak melamalon, tome." If when he heats it up down below in the bottom of the pit, it's going to get hot in the oven, so kim makabel toma, that's considered its gemar malacha, that's considered finishing off, and now that renders it a kli, and it's able to be makabel toma, even though it's not cemented to the ground, but it's still considered connected to the ground enough, and therefore it's makabel toma. Now, v'chamim say, "Hoyel v'hoskim komakim tome." Once an oven is heated up in any place, it can be makabel toma. That's even if you're traveling with it, you have it in the trunk of your car, and you decide to light a fire there. Now, don't ask why you'd light a fire in the trunk of your car, but that's fine. Let's say you did, so even though it's not connected to anything, it's not on the ground, it's literally in the middle of moving, that doesn't make a difference. As long as you heat it up the inside of the oven, it can now be makabel toma because that's gemar kli. And the Mishnah tells us, tanu shenetma, an oven that became tame. Again, we're talking about an earthenware oven that became tame. Ketzem matar noisai, how is one matar it? So now we already know regarding earthenware kalim that you can't put them in the mikvah. That's not a way to matar them. You have to break them. So the question is, how do you break this oven to matar it? The answer is, chalko shloisha, it has to be cut into three pieces. This is specifically talking about cutting it from the top to the bottom. That's basically cutting it lengthwise. That's cut into three sections. That's considered breaking the oven. Not only that, v'garas ha-tfeilo ad shei ba'aretz, he also has to remove the tfeilo, which is the added on thick layer of clay that helped with heat retention. It was basically the insulation. That has to be removed and has to be done all the way until the ground, which means when he's cutting the oven, let's say it's 3 feet tall, he can't just make a cut which is 2.5 feet through the oven, leaving the bottom half foot not cut. He can't even leave 2 inches or just 1 inch. He has to go from the top all the way to the bottom, hitting the ground, completely severing these pieces from each other. And only then it's considered broken. Rav Meir argues, and he says, "Ain't it tzarich ligros ha-tveila?" He doesn't have to remove that outer layer. And also, v'loy ad shei ba'aretz, he doesn't have to cut it till it's all the way through the ground. Elo mamatoim b'fnim, he has to just minimize it from the inside, arba tvachim, 4 tvachim. In other words, he could take his saw or his knife or whatever it is and reach his hand inside the oven, slicing the original shell of the oven, the main earthenware kli, slicing it into 3 spots until he reaches to within 4 tvachim of the ground, and that's sufficient. It's perfectly fine. That's considered being matar it. Rav Shimon Omer, he comes in with a different different opinion that not only does the oven have to be cut into three distinct pieces, v'tzarech la'asiyoi, he actually has to move the pieces away from each other, as opposed to Tanakama, who says you can cut in three pieces but then leave it where it is. That's not enough according to Shimon. It has to be cut into three pieces and they have to be moved away from each other. So now you see that there's three distinct pieces, and only then it's considered breaking the oven, and now it's tahar. Now what about chalak l'shnayim? If you cut it into two pieces, echad gadol v'echad katan, one of them is big, one of them is small, so a gadol tamei v'akatan tahar. The big one is still tamei because that's the majority of the oven. It's not considered broken. Only the small one is tahar. Now chalak l'shloisha, let's say cut into three pieces, but echad gadol k'shnayim, one of the pieces is as large as the other two, so a gadol tamei u'shnayim mektanim tahirin. The large one is tamei, and two small ones, they're tahar. On to Mishnah Ches, continue to discuss this oven that became tamei. Chatochai chulyos or chavai. Let's say he cut it into chulyos, which is basically rings across its width. So instead of taking the knife and chopping from the top all the way down, he decided to cut it widthwise into rings. So bar tfachim, if each of the rings is less than four tfachim of height, tahar, they're tahar. That's because we know the minimum height of something that could be considered an oven is four tfachim. So as long as these sections are less than four tfachim, they're tahar. Now what about the following? Merchai batet. He now took clay and smoothed it or coated it on these slices of oven, basically reconnecting them. The makabel tomo mishasi kenu kdei lafiz b'sufganin. Now it's able to be makabel tomo once again, like an oven, once he heats it up, the amount of heat that he could bake sufganin in, and that's because now it's considered a brand new oven. He sliced into these rings, that's fine, that's basically considered being metarit because it's broken, but now that he put tit on it, he reconnected with clay, so now it's a brand new oven, it's a makabel tomo. Now let's say herchik mamersa tfeila. He removed the tfeila, this insulating coating on the outside of the oven, v'nosan chol etzor b'entayim, and in between these pieces, these chulyos, these slices of the oven, he put either sand or like little pebbles. So bazet amru, with this they said, hanida v'atayra ifas b'vehutar, anida, which is a woman who's tamei, and atahira, which is a woman who's tahar, they can bake bread in this oven at the very same time, and the tahar woman's bread is tahar, there's no issue. That's even though she's baking with anida, that's because this oven is not really considered an oven, due to the fact that these rings were not connected. Maybe they're being held in place by sand and still able to bake because it has proper heat retention, but since nothing is connected over here, it's not considered an oven, and therefore it's not makabel tama. The Mishnah tells us, Tanu Shabam Chotechon Beis Ha'uman, an oven that came in pieces from the craftsman's house, Va'asa Ba'i Limudim, and he made rings for it. Now, what's this referring to? So we might call this an IKEA oven. Basically, it was made to be assembled at home. Instead of buying the ready-made oven from the store, you went to the craftsman's shop, and he had this assemble-at-home oven. It's basically multiple pieces of already hardened earthenware. They came along with Limudim, which was like basically rings holding it together, and then you put it together at home. You stand up all the pieces in the right shape and size. This one goes in that place, another one goes in a different place, and then in order to hold them together, you slide these rings over it, holding them solid together. And then V'naisan Olav, he actually did that. He put those rings on, holding it together, making the oven. V'hu Tahar, up until now it was Tahar, meaning before he slid the rings over it, it wasn't officially considered an oven, so it couldn't be Makabel Toma. However, now Nitma, it could be Makabel Toma, because now it's an oven. Now V'silik Es Limudav, let's say he removed those rings, he removed the things that are holding them together, Tahar, it now is not able to be Makabel Toma, because it's not considered an oven anymore. And it's actually pretty handy, because instead of having to break the oven if it actually becomes tamei, like we learned about in previous Mishnayos, here he's not really breaking the oven, he's basically disassembling it. That automatically makes it not an oven anymore, and then he could reassemble it, and that's like a brand new oven, that's tahar. Now here's a chiddush, hechziron loy, after disassembling it, if he now reassembles it and put those rings back on, holding it together, tahar, it's still tahar, which means it still cannot be makabel toma. That's because once it was disassembled and reassembled, it's not as strong and as solid as it was previously, like the first time he made it, and therefore it's not considered like a regular oven, it's not a regular kli, and it's not makabel toma. Now let's say mercha betit, he took clay or cement and he put that around strengthening it, so makabel toma, it is able to be makabel toma. He doesn't have to fire it up from inside, shukvar husak, it already was heated up previously, he had already used this oven before, all he did was basically dismantle it, put it back together and strengthen it with cement, so since it was already used before, it actually does not need to be reheated in order to be makabel toma. More discussions, chatach echolios, let's say he cut the oven into rings, and he put sand in between these rings. Reb Lezer says it's not makabel toma. V'cham matamin, v'cham say it is able to makabel toma. That's referring to when he connected these chulyos, these rings, with tit, with cement, with clay. So that gives it the status of an oven that could be makabel toma. And zet tanur shel achnoi. This is called the oven of achnoi. Now achnoi actually means snake, and the reason why this is called the snake's oven is because when Reb Lezer and the chachamim had this discussion, it was actually a whole long and pretty interesting story in the Gemara. The chachamim surrounded their discussion with rayos and proofs, like a snake goes around in circles and coils, and that's why this oven is called Tanur Shel Achnoi. Now, it's something different. Yaris Ho'arvim, Arab's pots. What is this? Shu Chayfer Ba'aretz V'tach Batit. They basically dug a hole in the ground, and then they would put cement cement or clay in that hole. Basically, instead of making a kli that you were able to carry around, they would simply dig a hole in the ground, coat that entire area with cement or clay, which is basically the insulation, put a heat source inside, so the entire area got very hot. Then they would remove the heat source, and since it was clay, it was very hot, and they were able to now put food inside, or bread, or whatever it is, and that would cook it. It was basically a primitive oven in the ground of sorts. So the question is that able to be mekabel toma, because it is basically the form of a kli? And the answer is, if all the dirt around this clay was removed, this clay would be able to retain shape and remain on its own. So toma, it's able to be mekabel toma, because it's really considered a kli, even though it's connected to the ground. Vimla, but if not, tar, so it's not able to be mekabel toma. And vizet, tanur shel ben dinoi, this is called the tanur of ben dinoi, because there was a fellow named ben dinoi who always used to make ovens like this. And we're discussing ovens. Mishnah tells us, tanur shel evin mishal mateches, we have an oven made either out of stone or out of metal. So tahar, v'tahar mishum kli matchos. And over here, everything's just a little bit out of order. When the Mishnah says tahar, that's referring to a stone oven. Stone is not able to be mekabel tama. And then when it says v'tahar mishum kli matchos, that's referring to the metal oven. It could become tame, however, like a metal kli does. And there's a number of differences between that and an oven that's made out of cheres, earthenware. Namely, we know that cheres becomes tame when tama enters its airspace, as opposed to metal only becomes tame when it's touched by tama. Another big difference would be is that an earthenware oven, when it's attached to the ground, it's mechuber lekarka, it still is able to be mekabel toma, and that's based off of Joshua and Pasuk, as opposed to a metal oven, if it's attached to the ground, that's called mechuber lekarka, and it's not considered a kli at all, so it can't be mekabel toma. But now we're going to see how this oven can actually get the din of kli cheres. How so? Nikav, nifkam, nistak. Let's say it got a hole in it, or a piece broke off, or got a big crack in it, and then also like tfeila, a mosav sheltit, let's say you put a coating or an add-on addition of clay, and clay is earthenware, so then tame, it could be mekabel toma, like a regular earthenware oven, and that's because since the only way it's able to function is due to the fact that it has this clay on it, so for all intents and purposes, it's not a metal oven anymore, is really considered cheres. We just explained Kamiya Banekev, how big does that hole have to be in order to say that it's not a usable oven? Then now when we put some clay on it, it's considered kli cheres. The answer is Kadesh Yitzibaya Ur, the hole has to be large enough that the fire goes out of it, that's going to cause it to lose a lot of its heat. And so now when it's covered with clay, it gets a din of kli cheres. Same thing, Vechen Bakira, same thing with a stove. Now once we mention stove, the Mishnah continues, Kir Shel Evin Shel Mateches, if we have a stove made out of stone or metal, it's the same thing, Tahira, it's a non-Evin Mekabel Toma, that's talking about the stone one, and Udmei Mishnah Kli Matchos, the metal one could become Tame like a metal Kli. Now let's say, Nikva, Nifgama, Nistaka, if I got a hole, a piece broke off, or got a crack, how is it now able to get a din as a Kli Cheres? Also, La Pitputin, if you made Pitputin for it, which is legs, another way of saying this is a tripod, you basically made a whole three-leg tripod contraption on the bottom to hold up this Kira, and that was able to be used, so Tmeya, now it is able to be Mekabel Toma like a Kli Cheres. Now, continue talking about these ovens, either made out of stone or metal. Let's say, Merchabatet, he took clay and he smeared the entire thing. Bein mibifnein, bein mimachot, whether he did that in the inside of the oven or the outside, Tahira, it's still not able to be Mekabel Toma. In other words, it's not considered a Kli Cheres just because it's covered completely in Cheres. That doesn't mean that it's called a Kli Cheres because since we're talking about a Kira, a stove, an earthenware coating, either inside or outside, it doesn't really help it that much because you really cook on top of it. So this clay coating doesn't do anything for you. Therefore, it's not able to be Mekabel Toma as a Kli Cheres. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mimifnim Temeya, if this coating's on the inside, it could be Mekabel Toma. That's because we view it as a Kira made out of Cheres, or that happens to have a metal or stone coating on the outside. It's only Umbachotz Tahira if the coating is on the outside, so then it's not Mekabel Toma, but the Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. And moving on to Parak Vav Mishnah Aleph. Ha'isa Shlesha Pitputin Ba'aretz V'chibram Batit Lias Shefis Alainis Hakadeira. Temeya, if a person makes three Pitputin, he basically puts three legs on the ground, arranging them in shape like a tripod, and then he connects them with clay, and now he's able to place a pot on top of them, so they're able to Mekabel Toma like a Kli Cheres, even though it doesn't actually have walls. Still, since this is a makeshift stove which is able to be used, he could put fire underneath it. Now he's able to cook something on top. This is like a classic camping stove, if you will. So it's able to become tame like a Kli Cheres. However, if he took three metal nails and he knocked them into the ground in the shape of a tripod, even though he smoothed out the top and he made a nice place to place a pot, it doesn't make a difference. Tyra, it's not mekabel toma. That's because even if you want to consider it like a metal kira, a metal stove, since the nails were knocked into the ground, now it's mechorba lekarka, it's connected to the ground. As we mentioned in the beginning of the previous Mishnah, it's not able to mekabel toma like that. Another din, ha'isa shtei avanim kira. Let's say he took two stones, let's say they were nice long rectangles, and he made those into kira, basically put them a small distance away from each other, v'chimbram batit, and then he connected them with clay, tmeya, so they're mekabel toma like a kli cheres, because since they're connected with clay, they're like a kli cheres, and they're able to be used as a kira, because they're nice solid stones. However, Yehuda metaher achiyasa shlishis, Rabbi says it's not mekabel toma until there's a third stone there, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, a kira kira has to have a minimum of three legs or three sides. Alternatively, ad she'yismach l'kaisel, these two stones have to be propped up against a wall, and that way it's considered like it has three sides. Now, furthermore, in shitas Rabbi Yehuda, achas betit v'achas shelo betit tahara. If two of these are connected with clay and the other one isn't, it's not connected at all to the third one, so it's not makabel tumah l'kli chayras. Because again, Rabbi Yehuda holds we require three to be connected to each other, but we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Now we continue discussing what we had in the previous Mishnah, namely that we can have a stove made out of two stones that are placed next to each other. A pot is able to be placed on top of them, fire underneath, and that's a great makeshift stove. That's perfectly fine. Now we learned that if these two were connected with tit, with clay, so that actually gives it the din of a kli cheres, of an earthenware kira, and so now it could be makabel tumah like that. Now we move on to more situations. Ha'even shayishavis aleh v'alatanur aleh v'alakira aleh v'alakupach. We have an individual stone. It's connected to the ground by cheres, and it's used for placing a pot on top of it. That's one side of the stove. The other side is either a tanur, a kira, or a kupach. All these are made out of cheres. So in this situation, tmeya, that stone is able to be makabel tumah like an earthenware kira, and that's because since it's connected to the ground with tit, with clay, and the other side of the makeshift kira is also made out of cheres, so the whole thing is considered a kli cheres and it can be makabel tumah like that. However, let's say this one stone, which is attached to the ground with tit, with clay, that's used as one side, but aleha v'alo evin, aleha v'ala sela, aleha v'ala kaisel, the other side of this makeshift stove, which is holding the pot, is either a stone that's not connected to the ground, or it's a sela, which is the word the Mishnah Gemara uses to describe a rock which is still connected to the ground, basically like a boulder or something like that, which was never uprooted, or the other side is a wall. So in this situation, tahira, it's not makabel tumah because it's not considered a kira made out of cheres. And actually, v'zu ha'sakiras ha'nazirim shebi Yerushalayim shekineged asala, this was the kira that was used for nazirim in Yerushalayim. This is specifically referring to when a person was a nazir, so he had to come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring certain karbanos, and they cooked those karbanos in a room called Lishkas Nazirim, the chamber of nazirim, and the oven over there was made just like this, so it couldn't be makabel tumah. Onto another type of stove, kiras ha'tabachim, the stove that cooks use. Now this tabach is a person who's cooking on a major scale, maybe he has a catering business, he's selling to a lot of people, so he needs a lot of place for his pot. A really easy way to do that would just to be to line up a number of stones, let's say for example, three, one, two, three, a little bit of distance away from each other, and voila, you have two stoves right there for really cheap, put pots on top, fire underneath, and that's a really simple way to do it. So bismachu nice and even beside even, let's say he places one stone next to each other, as we just described, nitmeis achas mehen, if one of them became tamei, loinit mukulon, not all of them became tamei. So if you're able to just imagine it, we have three stones, we'll call them A, B, and C, and a sheretz fell in the space in between A and B, so only that kira becomes tamei, whereas B and C do not become tamei.